Hey, Toronto. Welcome to How's the Market Podcast.
Welcome. I'm Kate.
And I'm still Dave.
And he is wearing a green shirt. He asked me to ask about it.
Of course I did. Do you know what this is?
I have no clue.
There's a little golf tournament on this weekend.
A little golf tournament? Mini putt?
Actually, they do have a bit of a mini putt tournament for kids beforehand, but...
I would be a part of that.
Yeah. No, it's the Masters.
So, oh,
yeah.
Masters.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to go several years ago, but one of my favorite rules there, no cell phones.
No cell phones.
So you actually have to like...
It's like you're back in the 90s.
Yeah, you got to leave your phone in the car or not bring it in with you. And they've got a whole banks of pay old school phones.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Pay phones to...
That's interesting. So
have you ever used one of those?
No. Yeah, I have. Back in high school, yeah, I have.
Back in the day, yeah.
They're hard to find nowadays.
Yeah, it's one of the few places that actually has it. And you can see all like the reporters going there to call back and stuff like that. Really cool thing. It's a bit of a tradition that I always watch that. So I'm
not going to see you for a week is what you're saying.
It's just the weekend. I'm around. Don't worry.
What are we going to talk about this week?
Lots going on. Mm-hmm. Announcement from the federal government about the Tenants' Bill of Rights.
Yes.
They're trying to introduce. So we're going to jump into that. This morning, we just had the Bank of Canada announce their holding rates. And then Mr. Trudeau and Mr. Ford are...
They're going at it.
Yeah. In the media, they're going back and forth. So we'll cover some of that. Yeah.
What's new between them, though? They're always going at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's politics, right? There's some theater where you have to actually, say stuff in the media and then what gets said probably behind closed doors and negotiating to come to a solution. It's all part of...
Hey, we just got to keep the left fighting the right. And then
it's all part of the show.
No one will know what's going on. Yeah. All right. To get started, let us talk about what I'm sure everyone is very interested in. The Ontario Renters Bill of Rights. If you're a landlord or if you're a tenant, I'm sure this kind of caught your attention in the media in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Four major points coming from it. First being that they essentially want to do a national standardized lease. Mm-hmm. We saw that introduced over the last few years in Ontario, provincial-wide.
Paperwork, at least. We have Ontario standard guidelines, paperwork, rules that have to be followed.
Yeah. The second is they want to have, and we'll go through these quickly and then we'll dive into them, a history on pricing to be available to tenants. Mm-hmm. So you can see what the was last rented for, some additional legal funding, and they're looking to count your rent towards your credit score.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about these things. I'm a little, when I look at them more carefully, it's, does this actually benefit a tenant or does this benefit a landlord for some of the stuff?
To me, I'm asking the question, does it make any difference at all? Based on these points. We're putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound and hoping it'll make some kind of difference.
I think that the federal government looked at it and said, okay, we have a housing issue.
Yep.
There's an affordability issue. We need to do something to try and fix this. I don't know if you remember, they tried to introduce a buyer's bill of rights.
Yeah, I saw that.
Not sure how that's going, but...
I haven't heard much about it.
Yeah. So it's... you can say stuff, but does it actually get implemented?
Yeah.
Is always another story.
Let's talk about each point. And so obviously, we don't have a ton of information.
There's, as always, more information to come.
Yeah.
But here's my number one issue with this is that... I think last summer Trudeau was quoted as saying housing's not a federal responsibility. Uh-huh. And that is true. It's actually a provincial responsibility to govern landlord and tenant laws, bylaws. And they're different.
Yeah.
So to try and standardize that across the country, I don't think Quebec and Alberta are going to want to do the same thing that Ontario does.
Yep. And I don't know. It's interesting because Trudeau is dipping in the polls. So I'm almost wondering if this is his plea to tenants. He's brought in a lot of people into the country over the last little while, a lot of whom have not been able to get in the housing market just yet because of the issues we've been experiencing. A lot of renters. I don't know. I know a lot of renters who hate him, though, because their rent costs almost as much as someone's mortgage.
The motivation behind it is, we let a lot of people in. We didn't have enough houses before they came in.
And we didn't really think this through.
We didn't get enough more built, so... Let's try and do something here.
Yeah, and I think Ontario is one of the provinces that is lagging the most behind in the number of units we were supposed to have built. I know that Ottawa just received $37.5 million award for hitting 93% of their housing target.
Yeah.
Obviously, very different situation. Ottawa has a lot more land at a much cheaper price to work with, and a lot of people are moving there, getting out of Toronto. We're not hitting our housing targets. I'm looking at this like point by point saying, who is this going to benefit, if anybody?
It could help benefit some tenants. I think some of the things might actually benefit landlords.
Yeah.
The major hurdle is to get all the provinces on board and territories, right? So how do they usually do that? We're going to offer you some sort of monetary incentive to adopt this, but
with some handcuffs around.
I see that being a major issue.
To me, my biggest fear with this is I look at what's happened in Ontario since they, you know, introduced the residential tenancy board and this residential tenancy agreement. And I look at, it's underfunded, it's backlogged significantly. And I don't know if landlords or tenants really like it, because it's like, who's going to enforce these rules that we're going to spread on a national basis? You know what I mean? When you do have issues, who do you go to? The reason that we have such a long period of dealing with tenants and dealing with landlord issues is because of the backlog. It's almost like the court system. It's continuing from a year to a year and a half to actually even get heard.
Yeah.
I've also heard that there's a lot of issues of if paperwork is filled out incorrectly, like you're like very small technicalities, you're rejected and have to start the whole process from the beginning. And that's been a huge issue for a lot of people. So that's my question, is how is this going to be enforced? They're offering $15 million in legal aid fund for tenants to stop rent evictions, I think was their main point, and to kind of fight landlords who are abusing their power.
And let's look at divulging the price history. So now this all comes with some sort of back-end infrastructure that you have to maybe create a database.
Yep.
You got to pay somebody to create it and monitor it.
I think it's going to be a complaint-based system. I think it's going to have to be an honor system. Landlords are expected to do this, and if they don't, tenants can complain.
I understand I think the motivation behind it is that there's probably some scholar out there who wrote a paper saying, if you have more information, you can negotiate better.
Yeah.
That doesn't factor in market conditions.
Yeah.
If you're competing against 5-10 other people and you go, okay, it was last rented 5 years ago for this, I'm going to offer 2% more a year. If it's gone up significantly, because everything else has with inflation.
Even if it hasn't, even if it's at the same price and you've got 5 people, now the price is pushed up. Supply and demand.
Thank you.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. The only way this information helps a tenant is if there is no one else interested in the unit. And in Toronto, at the very least, that is a rare occurrence to have no other tenants interested in the unit.
I think there's also the idea of it. I get it. There's a lot more information now. You can hop on realtor.ca. There's all the other apps where you can actually see what stuff leases for. So
that's what I was saying. Like, if you go on condos.ca, if you talk to your realtor.
Yeah, your House Sigma's listed, all these places.
The only price information that's not in there is stuff that was done off market.
And are they going to have to report that now? How are you going to enforce that? So, in theory, that's nice to know what it went for. Some people would actually prefer not to know.
Exactly. To me, it's a wash. If there's a landlord who is renting a unit for $1,900 and they're not rent controlled, they've gotten that tenant out of there. They increased the rent arbitrarily to $2,400, $2,500, whatever. You know, it's either going to lease for that amount or the landlord is going to have to lower expectations, but they're going to play around with it until they find someone to get in there. So I just don't see how I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's going to make much of a difference though.
Yeah.
I like the idea of having it included and standardized. I just don't think it's going to make a difference.
I don't either.
Yeah.
More $15 million for legal funding to support
across
people.
Canada.
Yeah. I don't know how far that's going to go.
Mean, what is that? Just like over $1 million per province?
I support that. That's great. There certainly are bad players on both sides.
Yeah.
And for those that need the support in making sure that their legal rights are not being infringed on, I think that's a good thing. How's it distributed and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
I really like the credit score aspect of this. I think that's awesome. And I think that might actually be able to make some difference in leverage if your rental payments will positively impact your credit score and negatively impact your credit score. I think if you're a tenant who does not pay your rent on time and that is tracked and monitored and it hurts your credit score, I think that could actually help out people on both sides.
So if you're looking to get your first mortgage, buy a place, the major barrier to entry is not necessarily having a credit score that could be improved by tracking your rent.
Yeah.
It's probably coming up with a down payment.
Yeah.
Paying your land transfer tax.
Yeah.
Your closing costs.
I don't think it's going to be an immediate solution, but I think over people who are looking to buy 3, 4, 5 years out, I do think this can significantly help. Or people who are on that cusp of, they have decent credit, but they don't have amazing credit. In terms of getting those lower interest rates in a couple of years?
It's going to help people improve their credit.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of people that are now looking at secondary lenders. Mm-hmm. And if you're also going to a higher level of review, escalating, whether it's an A lender or a secondary lender, sometimes submitting your bank statements mm-hmm. to that to show that you're actually paying your rent. Yep. You know, that's going to help as well.
And they really said it was focused on younger people. So like, I also think of people who are coming out of school with a couple hundred thousand dollars of debt mm-hmm. who are renting, and that debt can show, like, I don't think it so if, immediately.
If you're right out of high school and you go to college or university and you end up renting. So now it's going to help you build some credit.
Exactly. Make your credit score look better, even though you have a heaping amount of debt. If you pay your payments on time, you find a way to get your lease paid on time.
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome idea.
So, how is this going to happen? Are you going to have financial institutions report this? How are we going to manage this?
So there's actually a system currently in place, at least through apps like Borrowell and a couple other apps, where you can pay monthly. I think it's about $20 a month.
There are apps that actually do it.
Self-report, you take a screenshot of your payments going in. And I don't know how much of a difference it makes on your credit score, but it can slightly improve your credit score. I don't know how much of a difference it makes.
If we look at the federal government, the technology is there, but how you build apps and who you pay to build the apps has been an interesting over the last few years.
It's going to be interesting to see like how this is reported, because I don't know how they could track it unless it's volunteered.
I think what it could actually do is benefit the landlords, because now you actually have some implication that's happening monthly.
Yep.
If I'm a tenant not paying my rent, it's now my credit score is starting to see the impact of it.
Yeah. Well, so, and will it be on the full credit report? Is there going to be, like how there is for a credit card, detailed information of monthly payments and if they were made on time or not?
Yeah.
Because that would be very helpful as a landlord, rather than just having a landlord letter or a phone call with a previous landlord, which could be faked, could be legit. It's hard to verify. If it's on their actual credit report and shows that they actually have made their rent payments, I think that can make leasing in Ontario a lot easier and assuage a lot of landlords' fears.
Overall, if this is trying to create some sort of forum and checks and balances where we can actually try to identify the bad players.
Yeah.
We're already seeing there's apps out there like Open Door, there's Facebook groups.
Yeah. And it's going to gain a lot of traction.
You got to take it with a grain of salt, right? I'm mad at my landlord because they didn't do this, or I'm mad at these tenants because
it's basically websites to rat on each other.
Yeah.
And complain.
Yeah. So we'll see. Number one, I'll see if they can get this off the ground and actually implement it. I think they have a massive hurdle to get all the provinces and territories on board.
Yeah. And I think with those kind of websites, the idea is, you know, maybe you have one or two bad reviews here and there, but I think it's to really find those people who are notorious. That is their job, is defrauding landlords, and they've gone their whole life never paying rent, and they've got multiple complaints against them, and they move in for 2 months and then immediately stop paying rent. I think it's to like weed out those people specifically. And also the landlords who are just breaking the law, kicking people out, entering people's homes illegally, breaking all kinds of rules. Yeah.
Interesting that this came out after the RCMP put out a report saying that over the next decade, 2 decades, we could see some civil unrest just with the housing that's basically the housing situation is going to be a catalyst because of unaffordability. Mm-hmm. This might be a reaction to that in a way to try and A, show that we're doing something, and B, hopefully it works.
Hopefully, because at the end of the day, I think people just want their rents to come down and for things to become more affordable or for their incomes to go up.
We've certainly seen rents, I'll say plateau, maybe even correct a little bit here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always seasonal throughout throughout Toronto, but it doesn't seem to be as many bidding wars and going against as many other renters trying to secure the same place.
Yeah,
but there's still not enough homes.
Yeah, and like I don't know if you've gone to the grocery store lately, but I went last night and I was flabbergasted. I bought a bag of groceries, maybe this big, enough for a meal and a half, and it was $47.
Yeah,
it blew my mind.
Yeah, it's the cost of everything's going up. Mm-hmm. Everybody's feeling the effects of the carbon tax.
Yeah.
So this morning, yes, we recorded this on
Wednesday morning.
It is Wednesday, right?
It is Wednesday. Okay, it's Friday, actually.
Oh, it's Friday. It's Friday. Technically Friday.
Yeah, I'm not coming in tomorrow.
So on Wednesday morning, the Bank of Canada announced that they're holding rates at 5% mm-hmm. For the sixth time in a row now.
Yes. It was widely predicted that they would as well.
Yeah. Widely predicted that you didn't even hear a whole lot about it this time.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet, but I want to say this is why I don't do predictions anymore. My predictions at the beginning of this year have been blown out of the water. I said I thought we would get a price decrease by this around the end of the first quarter. Yeah. Midway through the second quarter, and I don't think that's going to happen any longer.
I can't remember what I said. I think it was closer to the summer, maybe.
I think you said the end of the year. You were pushing fall.
Okay.
That we might see a price decrease.
So what's going on there is it looks like maybe this might be the last time holding before they explore decreasing.
But I think there's going to be one more. I think they're being so cautious.
Well, the next one's not for 2 months. So mm-hmm. we've got more time to see how everything plays out. The Canadian economy certainly feels like it's feeling the effects if we're in a recession or sliding towards one.
Yep.
The major issue, I think, is that the federal government and the states, they've announced that they don't think rate decreases are coming anytime soon.
Yeah.
They're still going to happen this year, but it's probably going to be towards the end of the year is basically what they're saying.
I'm also hoping that the Bank of Canada is motivated by the fact that such a significant amount of mortgages are coming up for renewal at the end of this year. Maybe that will motivate them to lessen a little bit, lessen that impact.
They're very cognizant of what the Fed does, what the states do, just because they want to maintain the relation of the Canadian dollar to the US dollar for that has a major impact on the economy.
Absolutely.
So if we lower first, that can actually devalue the Canadian dollar compared to the American dollar. So it's something else to consider.
We're already pretty stinking low.
There's a sweet spot for Canada for imports, exports, where it operates. And that's around that 70%-ish.
Do you remember back in, I don't remember if it was 2013, 2014, when the Canadian dollar was like $1.05, $1.10 to the US dollar? I should have bought money. I should have bought US dollars.
This isn't financial advice, but they're ever on par by USDs.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you go back in time, there was a point when the Canadian dollar was 63, 64, 65 cents.
Yeah.
And that has a major impact in everything. You're talking about prices of groceries, everything else will feel inflation go up on that.
Yes, especially imported products.
Yeah. So there's a lot that goes into the decision. It's not just, hey,
But
let's flip a coin and see what happens here. So interesting to see what happens, but I think that they're going to feel a lot more pressure, especially with 2 months mm-hmm. going into summer to look at seriously considering interest rate decrease.
Yeah. And remember, we don't really feel the effects of the Bank of Canada until almost 8 months to a year after they make whichever move they decide to make. So, you know, that it doesn't mean just as soon as they drop interest rates, everything's going to spur back to normal. It's still going to be a year, 2 year, 3 year long process.
Yeah. And, you know, if prices go down 25 basis points, that doesn't mean that we're back to 2022 chaos in real estate. It's going to take some time, and it does help consumer confidence. So we do see that, and we've already started to see buyers adjust to it and sellers. There's still some.
I think some people are just sick of waiting. They're like, I need to make this move. I don't have a choice. And they're sucking it up. Yeah, they don't really want to. They're like, this is what I can afford at this moment. I'm just going to do it. I think we're starting to see those people come back into the market. Yeah. Whereas I think a lot of the fear has left.
There's
still a bit of greed.
There's the hope of better days.
Yeah.
There's light at the end of the tunnel sort of stuff. And it's, okay, I'm willing to weather the rest of this storm and hopefully I can secure a property. And then when I come to renew, it's going to be more favorable.
Yeah. And the Bank of Canada is also going to be updating their neutral rate. But the most recent neutral rate that they've had is 2-3%. So basically what that is, it's an estimate of if inflation was at exact target rates of what we wanted and if the economy was growing at its full potential, what would interest rates be today? And they estimate that it's around 2-3%. So there is hope on the horizon as the economy, hopefully we're not going into a recession, or it feels like we've been in a mini recession for the last couple of years.
I feel the Bank of Canada, they've been walking a tightrope to decrease inflation, but not put us in a recession, mm-hmm. hopefully have a soft landing. How that analysis happens, what numbers they're using to officially judge a recession or not, you have to look into that. But I think for me, it's the best test is to you go out, you look around, and it's, are there more people going out to restaurants mm-hmm. or less people?
Yep.
Are people cutting back on spending? Are people are they carrying more credit card debt? Are they having to downsize, sell their properties? Those are the sort of things that—
Are people losing their jobs?
Yeah.
Things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
Yeah. And let's talk about Trudeau and Ford. They're at it again.
What round is this? I've lost count. This is their job.
Yeah. Right?
So they're both trying to do the best they can on the national level versus the provincial level, right?
Yeah. So what's going on?
What's the beef?
Basically, Trudeau wants fourplexes and Dougie does not. Trudeau has offered $6 billion to all the provinces and it has come with a ton of conditions. Again, we're going to find more information on those conditions, but one of them being that they want to make fourplexes as a right, meaning that you don't need to go and get permitting to create a fourplex or to operate a fourplex as it currently is. I don't really know what this is like outside of Toronto. I know in Toronto, we have a lot of illegal duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes that have been sliding under the radar for the last 8-10 years. And the city operates as if that's already as a right because we have such a housing crisis. Yeah. I know recently Ontario is either already in the process or has already implemented fourplexes being more allowed, but not necessarily just as a right, which is what Trudeau is looking for.
So there, when you look at this on sort of major cities, metropolitans in Toronto and Vancouver, you only have so much space. Mm-hmm. Previous, we'll go back to after World War II, we need more housing.
Yep.
We're going to build more housing. So it was easier to go and get more land and build more places. And even in the 70s, I think they've got something in Vancouver called the Vancouver style home.
I saw an article saying that pre-war housing could be built in 36 hours. Compared to 2 to 3 years, like as opposed to our housing currently today.
Probably a lot less red tape.
Yeah, a lot less red tape, a lot less building code, but also just like the material, the way it was slapped up. You weren't buying a beautiful home. You were buying a piece of property that you could live in for right now and survive. Yeah. So
a lot more basic.
Yeah.
You're not trying to install central vacs and all this.
Yeah, different level of standard. Yeah. But I was like 36 hours compared to 2 to 3 years. Oh, yeah. Wow, that was impressive. Yeah.
So the pushback from Ford is probably based around the GTA, right? Like where we don't have enough space. Hey, we've got a housing issue. We need to create more housing. How are we going to do that? We're going to increase density, right?
There's also some landlords who are going against the grain and kind of against the rules, creating rooming houses where they're not allowed, cramming more people than are allowed into a certain amount of space, neighbors complaining. I think he's worried about ruining communities and neighbors, probably nice neighborhoods, being really irritated at this.
Yeah, listen, for a lot of people, housing is their largest investment, right? And so you've got so much equity built into it right now. Is how do you maintain that value? If all of a sudden you go from detached homes, how do you maintain that value? If you go all of a sudden from detached single family homes to every home becomes a fourplex, becomes just generally less desirable.
Yeah.
And now it is all... those people that who own those homes, are they moving out of the city? So you're totally changing the landscape. And
I think the other fear is that if you have a couple homes on the same street start to do it and the value of the other homes around them starts to sink a little bit, they all slowly start to become fourplexes and you get these streets where it's just entire rentals that are overcrowded and you lose the value of some neighborhoods.
It's a great idea, but not in my backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's someone else, not me.
Yeah,
it happens. For sure. You always expect it to happen to someone else, but not to you until you have a fourplex in a not desirable for everybody.
We'll see how this plays out, but
it is interesting because anecdotally we dealt with something similar to this, but it was outside of the city where we had a buyer who was interested in purchasing a property that had a basement tenant. I think it was a bungalow that had a basement tenant, and we were going through the process doing our due diligence. And the day after we showed it, we're contemplating putting an offer on the property. The seller was like, hey, I'm taking it off the market. I've gotten a complaint from a couple of neighbors who didn't realize we were renting the basement. And the municipality like immediately shut it down.
Yeah.
So outside of the city, very different rules. And they're trying to standardize this across Ontario, just fourplexes everywhere.
Similar to the Renter's Bill of Rights, you're now trying to apply something on a national level that is actually done on a provincial or municipality level.
Yeah.
So hard to override that and take that away.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
And I think Ford's kind of opinion was like, hey, I trust the people we've put in power. I trust the mayors. I trust the governing bodies. I think it should be up to the municipalities to do what's right for their situation. I see it both ways, though. That's why we're having so much red tape. That's part of the reason we're having such a housing crisis, because people don't want to open this up.
One of the other things they've looked at is actually severely decreasing the level of immigration.
Yeah. So, which I think we have to. Yeah, we weren't ready for it.
Like a quarter of what we had.
We weren't ready for it. We were not prepared. We didn't do anything. We just opened the floodgates. Trudeau 2 years ago was cheering on these, we're breaking records and we're getting all kinds of new people in here, which is fantastic, but we didn't do anything to prepare for it.
Yeah.
And we didn't do enough forecasting to see how it would impact everybody. We need more labor in this country. We need our economy to grow. We need our population to grow. But they also need to live somewhere. They're not living on the street.
So back in the day when I went to high school, we'd have morning announcements and there was always some sort of theme saying going with it or trying to teach you some sort of lesson.
Yep.
But the reoccurring theme that I remember most was failing to plan is the same thing or planning to fail is the same thing as failing to plan, right? Yep. And I think that this is a good case of this.
Yep.
It's going, oh, okay, what's the effect? Oh, that's not good.
But to me, at the end of the day, they knew. If you look at the number of housing you have and you look at the rate you're building houses and you look at your population and you look at people coming in, it's not really hard arithmetic to find out that this isn't going to work.
I think I heard on the radio today driving in that there were some municipalities, maybe it was in Peel, mm-hmm. that they were trying to count like nursing homes and student residences
built. Yeah, I saw that today. Yeah, apparently they're trying to do that in Ontario as well. Ontario is trying to consider student housing.
Yeah.
Towards our housing goals.
So they can, I reached our goals.
Even though probably 50% of that is international students.
Yeah. So it's.
Who don't live here.
Okay.
We're not housing the people who live here. We're housing people who are temporarily here for a couple of years, which is not the same thing. And you're not going to put a family of four into a student bachelor condo.
Creative accountability, right?
Creative accounting. Hey, you can make the numbers say whatever you want to if you know how to arrange the numbers.
That's what marketing is.
Yeah. Creative accounting.
Marketing's the manipulation of numbers to tell the story you want. What story do you want to tell?
I want more housing. Also, look at what we just got our hands on.
Yeah, check your mail. We might have sent one to you. If you do want a copy of this publication, is put together by our brokerage, Sotheby's. They put it out twice a year. Features a lot of listings currently. You get to see
a lot of luxury properties.
A lot of there's condos from entry-level condos to some pretty crazy luxury homes in there.
Yeah.
You can check it out. Also some great articles.
Real estate articles focusing on architecture, design, all kinds of different aspects. And it makes a nice little coffee table book. I have mine on my coffee table.
Perfect.
Yeah.
If you want a copy, send us a DM and we've got several extras we can arrange to try and get one to you.
Yeah. Be happy to.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in again. We're really excited to start doing these weekly again and get back into the swing of things now that spring is here.
And please hit the subscribe.
Yes.
Tell a friend button.
Share with your friends. It really, it does help us out a lot to share the podcast with different people.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon.